Thanks very much for coming out again this afternoon to our family service. Interestingly enough, I decided to speak on the subject of victory today. And two Davids have let me down in my team at the quiz. But we're going to speak about the subject anyway. I don't know if you are a football fan. You kind of can't miss it at the moment. But you might have had the unfortunate experience last night of staying up late and watching certain teams play. I know we've got some English folk in the room with us, so I'm not going to be too dogged about it. But there was a great victory for the English last night in the football. They managed to get to another semi-final of the World Cup. And in the commentary, they said, it's been such a long time since we've been to a semi-final. 2018. 2018 was the last time they were in a semi-final, which is ridiculous because Scotland have never been in a semi-final of the World Cup. And it got me thinking about this subject of victory. We are going to read a little short passage, if you want to look it up, in 1 John chapter number 5. But on the theme of football, some of the older folk in the room today might remember a man named Bill Shankly. If you were a Liverpool supporter, you might remember him a little bit more fondly than others. If you're a Manchester United supporter, you might not remember him too fondly. But he had a famous quote, and he said this: some people believe that football is a matter of life and death. He said, I'm very disappointed with that attitude. I can assure you it is much, much more important than that, said Bill Shankly. Some people believe football is a matter of life and death. I can assure you that it's much, much more important than that. But we know in this room that obviously it's not more important than that. And there's things that we can talk about today that are much more important than winning a game of football. I don't know if you are a winner or if you have experienced much victory in life. Maybe coming here on a Sunday is the only victory that you actually get to win in the quiz during the week. I don't know if you were a child that won at sports day very often. I wasn't. My nephew came third out of five recently in the sports day, and we were congratulating him, wondering where his sticker was, and he said, I came third. I'm not wearing the sticker. I thought, oh, okay. I didn't win much at the sports day. I don't know if you count yourself as someone who wins often in life, or in biblical language, overcomes things in life. Maybe you would have the view of someone that is a winner if they have financial freedom. So maybe they have a house and a car and a family, and they have done all the things that you would expect someone to do in life. Maybe you would count them as someone who is a winner. Or maybe you would look at someone who has peace in life, in their mind. Maybe someone with a peaceful mind, you would say that's a winner right there. Someone who's won at life, overcome things. Or maybe you just know those annoying people that just seem to be good at everything and win everything. My dad's a bit like that. Any racket sport he picks up, he beats us all, even in his 50s. It's not great. But we can be split, I guess, in life into those that win and those that lose. And even in this room, there'll be people that win in different things and lose in different things. And there'll be people that overcome in different ways and, I guess, succumb in other ways. But in the spiritual sense, because that's what we're here to talk about today, there are winners and there are losers. The Bible doesn't use that language necessarily, but the Bible speaks about victory. And the Bible speaks about overcoming things in life as well. And I want to read this little section in 1 John chapter number 5 that speaks about overcoming the world. And we'll talk about that in a second, what that actually means. But if you win at sports, or if you win in life, maybe financially or whatever, generally that involves some kind of effort on your part. If you watched the game last night, you would realize that it felt like 42 degrees centigrade, and it was a big effort from the England team. In fact, there's never been a bigger effort from any football team ever to win a game, according to the commentators. But in the spiritual sense, on our behalf, on our part, there isn't a great deal of effort involved, but there was from someone else, and that was the Lord Jesus. And we're going to learn about that shortly here. In 1 John chapter number 5, it says this. It says in verse 1, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, that means the Christ means the sent one or the promised one, has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? If you look at the book of Ephesians, you read a verse in chapter number 2 that goes a little bit like this. We have been saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I remember we were out for dinner one time, and sometimes you meet people that you can't remember, and you can't put a name to their face. And a man came up and chatted away to my dad. We were out for dinner, and it was a school friend. And he was waxing lyrical about his children and how great they were doing. And we were sitting there, and Dad wasn't saying a word about us. He was waxing lyrical about this girl and that girl. And one of his daughters was traveling the world, and he said to us, she's winning at life. She's winning at life. And we all thought, I don't know if I would count traveling the world winning at life. I don't know. But that's what he said. She was winning at life. Because of her efforts, because of everything that she was doing that obviously the dad had wanted to do at some point and never managed, he put that on her, that he said she was winning at life. And every one of us at our table, we all remarked afterwards that actually she was losing because she didn't know our Savior. She didn't know Christ. She was traveling the world, which is something that many people want to do, and yet she didn't know Jesus. So she wasn't winning at life. There's three things in this little section that we've read in 1 John chapter 5 that speak about overcoming and being victorious in life. First of all, it speaks about being born of God. Second of all, it speaks about us being overcomers and overcoming the world. And most importantly, and thirdly, it speaks about our faith in Jesus as the Son of God. If you're someone that feels like you are always succumbing to things, especially your sin, you're always tripping up, you always seem to be on the back foot, never getting ahead. In the spiritual sense, the three things that we're going to look at here in this section show us how we can be victorious. And it's all because someone else was victorious for us. It's because the Lord Jesus died on the cross for us that we can be victorious in the spiritual sense. The first thing it says is born of God. I don't know who your mother is. I've not met many in this room. Some people might have gone on before. Some people might have left this world and had the unfortunate circumstance of burying their own mother. But there's a story in the Bible in John chapter 3 about a man who was very confused about what this saying means, born of God. Born of God. And this is someone who is victorious in the spiritual sense, who wins when it comes to the spiritual things of this world. It says in John chapter 3, you can turn to it if you want to, or just listen to this story. And there was a man who came to Jesus, and he was so confused about what Jesus was saying to him. Born of God. What does it mean? It says this. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs or miracles that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. He says in verse 3, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In a sense, what Jesus is saying there, if you are not born again, you cannot be victorious. You cannot win in the sense of spiritual things. What does it mean to be born again, firstly? Well, the Bible speaks about Christians as having new life. New life. A new beginning. The Bible speaks about us as being new creations when we trust in Christ as our Savior. So when we speak about someone as being born of God, it doesn't mean that they've come down from heaven and that there's prophet and this angel and this superhuman. What it means is that they have placed their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The old life is gone and they have a new life. They are born of God. I don't know in your life what it is that trips you up. And for some people, it's gambling. And you see that on the TV when you watch the World Cup. Gambling advert after gambling advert. For some people, it's maybe alcohol. For some people, it's maybe stealing, lying, bad relationships with our family, anger, pride that ostracizes people. I don't know what it is that trips you up time after time. Whatever it is, the Bible calls that sin. And what it says in the Bible is that it is eating us alive, it is killing us. The Bible says that we are dead in trespasses and sins. And yet when we find Christ, it says that we're born of God. New life, a new beginning, a new start, and ultimately eternal life in heaven with him. The second thing that it speaks of in our passage in 1 John chapter 5, of someone who is victorious, it says that they overcome the world. Now, this doesn't mean that you become some kind of dictator who conquers nations and lands and you overcome the world as some kind of a crazy despot. The world here is something referred to in the Bible as the world system that's set up. So the things that are put in place by the evil one, by the devil, to trip us up. And in our flesh, in our sinful fallen nature, we respond to these things, don't we? Like I've said already, if you're watching the World Cup and you are someone who likes to gamble, well, you wouldn't be far in going into watching the World Cup without a gambling advert coming up and maybe responding to that advert, maybe thinking, oh, I'll just put another little bet on, and then another one, and then another one. And already we're in the depths of despair. There's things that are set up for us to see. There are things that are set up for us to think, certain ways to think. There are things that are set up to go to places that will cause us to sin. And everything about this world system is set up against us to make us fall. And yet the Bible tells us here in 1 John chapter 5 that we can be people that overcome that. I don't know if you ever tried this when you were a child. I used to try this all the time and fail by about 10 in the morning. I'd wake up and I'd say, today is the day that I'm not going to sin. I'm going to do really, really well today. I'm going to get up. I'm going to be nice to my sister, which was really difficult. She was older than me. A second mum, some would say. I'm going to be nice to my brother, which was also really difficult. I'm going to do what I'm told, go to school, and not misbehave. Well, by the time you'd left the door, you'd said something or thought something or done something that was wrong, that broke God's standard of holiness, what the Bible calls sin. And that could have been something that was from within me, or it could have been some kind of stimuli from outside in my house, or the people that were saying things to me, or maybe my sister riled me up, my brother riled me up, or I got in trouble for something that I didn't actually do, and then I'm angry. You can't make it through a day without sinning. You can't overcome it yourself. You certainly can't overcome this world system that's set up against us. But what Christ offers, what he offers us, is victory against sin. Doesn't that sound amazing? The thing that constantly trips us up, the thing that constantly makes our life worse, that makes our relationships worse, that makes our job worse, that makes our mindset worse, that separates us ultimately for God, not just in time, but for all eternity. The Bible says here that we can overcome that. Not because of anything I've done, Ephesians chapter 2, not from works that I have done, but because of the gift of God that's given to us in Christ Jesus. And, as a side note, if you are a believer today, if you're a Christian, you count yourself as someone who is Christ's, you follow the Lord Jesus. It says this in 1 John number 5, in verse 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. This is the way that we show that we've overcome the world in our life. So this isn't just a overcome, get saved, and then you just drift for the rest of your life with a home in heaven. That's not how the Christian life works. It says this in verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. You might think by looking at a Christian that they've got to go to church on a Sunday, and they've got to pray, and they've got to read the Bible, and all of these things seem burdensome. They've got to do good works and be nice to people. That's not how it is. It actually, the Bible speaks about us is freedom from sin, freedom from the slavery of it. That's how we overcome. But how are we overcomers? How are we victorious in this way? How do we overcome the world? How are we the people that can be spotted as Christians, that can be seen as people who are overcoming the world? It says this in verse number 5. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And it said in verse 4, our faith allows us to overcome. What is faith? Faith is two things. It's belief in something, and it's trusting in it. It's believing that something is real, is a thing, even if you've not seen it, and trusting in it with your life. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. There's a whole lot that you could unpack there. What are we actually believing? We're believing that he came to this earth as a man. We're believing that he died on the cross as a man, and yet with the power that would show that he is the Son of God. We believe that he was raised from the dead, and in doing so was victorious over death and sin. We believe that he was the one who offers us eternal life if we trust in him. We believe that he was perfect in every way. We believe that he never did anything wrong. We believe that he was and is the Son of God. I'll read our verse in Ephesians chapter 2 again. It says this, that we can be saved by grace through faith. Not through effort and hard work. Not by running about a football pitch for hours and hours. Or putting in effort at work and gaining the financial reward. It says it's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, lest anyone should boast. How can we be victorious? Because the Lord Jesus himself was victorious when he went to the cross. We're trusting in the one who defeated death, the greatest enemy. We're trusting in the one who defeated sin, the thing that trips us up every single day. We're trusting in the one that gave himself for us as a gift. And how do we do that? It says here in verse 5, we overcome the world when we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And not just believe that, but we trust in him with our lives. I'd be remiss if I stepped down from here and didn't mention something about what that looks like in our lives practically. There's a word in the Bible that we don't tend to use. very often, but we used it at the Children's Week this week with some suspect actions in the children's choruses as well. But the word was repent. Now, we don't use that word very often in life, repent. I think the action looked like this. I'm not going to do it properly. But it was good action because what you're doing there is you're shunning something that's bad, and you turn to something, and not just avoid, but you turn to something that is good, and you fill it with what is good. So you turn from something that is bad, and you turn towards something that is good. And in this sense, in faith, in believing that Jesus is the Son of God, what you must do is you must turn, repent from your sin, the things that trip us up. The flesh within us that is so quick to sin. The world system around us that trips us up all the time. We turn from it. We repent of it. And we turn to Christ in faith. We ask for forgiveness for everything that we've done. And we turn to him in faith and believe that he is the Son of God who was victorious on Calvary's cross. I don't know if you're a winner. I certainly wouldn't go about calling people losers. But you can be someone that is victorious. The Bible speaks about us as victors. And the way that we do that is by linking ourselves with the one who is victorious over the greatest enemy, death and sin. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to him and be victors with him. Let's pray. Father, we give thanks that you have given us a way to be saved. We give thanks, Father, that we can turn from our sin, turn to Christ who was victorious over death and the grave. We give thanks, Father, that he is so much better than us in every way, was never tripped up by sin. And Father, we give thanks that in this free gift that he has offered, that we can take that gladly, Father, in faith, believing that he is the Son of God who died for us. We just pray that you would take us home safely, consider these things in our minds. Even if we do know the Lord, Father, as our Savior, that we consider how we can keep his commandments as they are not burdensome. And Father, that we can love you more and more each day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.